Imagine everybody's tired. I am. Has been a good week. We appreciate fellowship and the love, and just always enjoy being here. And it's been good for us to get away for a while. We do covet your prayers. I'd like today to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, also Titus chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 1, Titus chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 1, we'd like to read verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. From the text in 1 Corinthians 1, I want to call your attention to two phrases. Them that perish. And then secondly, us which are saved. In those two phrases, there are two groups of people mentioned by two pronouns. There is the them which perish. There is the us which are saved. These two groups, the them and the us, are described by two words, perish and saved. Again, the them that perish, the us which are saved. Everyone belongs to one of those two groups, the them that perish, the us or which are saved. Now notice, between those two phrases, them that perish, us which are saved, there is another word. There is the word but. Indicative, of course, of a contrast. So there's a contrast between the them that perish and the us which are saved. There is a contrast in their present state and condition. There is a contrast in their eternal destination. And verse 18 mentions there is a contrast in their attitude and spirit toward the preaching of the cross. And then if we go over to Titus, our text in Titus, we want to call your attention to a three-word phrase. He saved us. The pronoun he refers back to verse 4, God our Savior. He, God our Savior, saved us. In other words, he's the producer of this saving. He's the doer of this saving. The us, that's the objects or recipients of the saving. So in both of these verses, 1 Corinthians 1:18, Titus 3:5, Paul is writing to those who have personally experienced God's salvation in Christ, and he includes himself with the word us. We can include ourselves, we that are saved. I want to focus our attention on that word saved. We saw this morning, not saved. This afternoon, we want to give some thought to that word saved. No one wrote more about being saved than Paul. No one. It was a subject in which he greatly marveled. And as you read his epistles, it's very easy to see it's something that he truly marveled in. It was something in which he was absolutely amazed. Now in 1 Corinthians 1:18, I believe that when Paul penned those words, us which are saved, and then Titus 3 verse 5, when he wrote down, he saved us, where do you think his mind went? Well, I imagine it went back to the Damascus Road. Yep. And don't you believe as he wrote those words, us which are saved, he saved us, his heart just flowed over with enthusiasm, with joy, with thanksgiving, with praise. Saved. The very thought, no doubt, refreshed his spirit. No doubt, revived his spirit. No doubt, inspired him. As you read his epistles, it was something that was very real to him. Saved. For those that are here and saved, which is most of us, how real is that? Saved. It was something he was very conscious of. How conscious of it are we? It was something he was very mindful of. I'm saved. Saved was something that he was very confident about. As he writes upon salvation, there's no tone of doubt in his words. There's no tone of uncertainty. It was something that he was very confident of. It was something he was very assured of. And as you read the book of Acts, and as you read his epistles, it was very clear to him that he was saved. He was very aware of the fact that he was saved. Very aware that the Lord saved him. He was very aware of how it came about. And he never lost the thrill. He never lost the excitement of being saved. It was something that exhilarated him. I believe that Paul lived in the amazement of being saved. And the more he thought about it, the more it thrilled him. And the more amazing that it became. No doubt as you read his writings, it impacted every aspect of his life. Saved. It was something that motivated him. I mean, if being saved doesn't motivate you to serve the Lord, nothing will. It caused him to serve the Lord with passion and zeal. And in that light, I believe that there are many who can include themselves in that word saved, who somewhere along the line lose the wonder of it, lose the thrill of it, lose the excitement of being saved. That should never happen. We want to dwell upon that word. And again, I pray that we who are saved that would be engraved deeply in our heart, that it would fill us with an enthusiasm, a joy, a thanksgiving, a praise that we just can't hold in. I'm saved. I pray that it's something we'd always be conscious of. Every day we wake up, we ought to think, I'm saved. I'm saved. Lord, save me. It's something that we ought to live in the reality of. Everywhere we go, every decision we're faced with, this needs to be upon our mind. I'm saved. So that's our subject this morning, or this afternoon. Saved. Saved. Amen. If you are saved, just say to yourself, I am saved. I am saved. That should mean something. Think upon those words. I am saved. Let them sink in. I'm saved. Saved is a wonderful word. It's a marvelous word. It speaks of something spectacular. To say I am saved says that something spectacular happened in my life. It's the greatest miracle in all the world. Salvation. Creation is a great miracle. The Bible is filled with great miracles. But the greatest miracle that there is the salvation of a soul. Amen. And I'm saved. I mean, something miraculous has happened in my life. Something memorable has happened in my life. It's a word that makes a difference. And we see in 1 Corinthians 1:18, there's a difference between them that perish and us which are saved. At one time, we belonged unto them that perish. But we've been saved. It's a difference-making word. It's a word that, again, ought to just delight our hearts. It's a word that, it's an awesome word. So again, if you're saved, say to yourself, I am saved. I am saved. I was a lost sinner, and I am saved. And again, think upon it. Let it sink in. Go back to the day that it happened. I am saved. The very word has reference to a rescue. I have been rescued. I have been released. I have been delivered. I have been recovered. Something wonderful and marvelous has happened. I'm saved. Meditate upon that. Take some time every day and meditate upon that fact. I am saved. You may find yourself in a difficult situation, difficult circumstances. Remind yourself, I am saved. I'm saved. When you start to feel sorry for yourself, woe is me, think about that. I'm saved. The word saved speaks of a past danger. If we've been saved, it means we were in a past danger. There was a past threat, a hardship, a suffering, a misery, an imprisonment. It implies a past crisis. It implies a past emergency, something that was very pressing, something that was very desperate and urgent. But I've been brought out of that. I'm saved. Again, for you that are saved, think for a moment of your past. Think for a moment of what you were saved from. And again, if you're not saved, what I was saved from is your present now. Well, we're mostly speaking to the saved this afternoon. For us that are saved, there was a time when we were the them that perish. Right. And if you're not saved, that's you today. The them that perish. And there is no greater danger. There is no greater crisis. There is nothing more desperate and urgent than the them that perish. The fact is, you and I were born into the them that perish. And we lived our life in the them that perish. And as such, we were spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. We were filthy sinners before a holy and righteous God. And you cannot even begin to comprehend how wrong we were, how bad we were, how corrupt, how vile we were. Belonging to the them that perish, we were estranged from God. We were without God. We were without Christ. We lived our lives under the dominion of sin. We lived our lives under the dominion of Satan. We lived under the power of darkness. That's who we were. But I'm saved.
Amen.
We were lovers of darkness. We not only lived under its power, we loved the darkness. And we were deceived. And we were ignorant, and we were blind, and we were hardened at heart, and we were at enmity with God. Criminals against God, striving against God, living in absolute defiance of the Lord. A rejecter of God, a resister of God. Unrighteous, unholy, unprofitable. Bankrupt, lost, fleeing from God, doing my best to stay away from God. That's where we were. That's how we lived. We were helplessly trapped under the weight of sin. And again, we were sinking deeper and deeper and deeper into the destruction and into the loss and into the misery of sin and death. And we were stuck in the contamination of sin. Not only were we stuck there, we were securely held by the chains and shackles. So securely held that we could not possibly escape. Our minds, our wills, our affections, our entire being was so enmeshed in the power of sin that we could not understand our desperate need. And we could not in any way please God. And we could not and we would not come to God for what we so desperately needed. We were thoroughly guilty before God. And we were under the just condemnation of God. And we had absolutely no merit to plead. And we were headed for and we were deserving of eternal destruction. We were in a desperate situation. One that we could not get ourselves out of. One that no one else could get us out of. But we need to let that sink in. I am saved. I have been saved from that life. I have been raised up. I have been brought out of that life. I am saved. Oh, that needs to grip our hearts. Again, say those words, I'm saved. Saved. Let it sink in. Allow it to get a hold of us. It means that an event has taken place. And we spoke about that this morning. I am saved. I wasn't born saved. Something happened. The event of salvation had to take place. If we're saved again, the event had to take place. It literally happened. It's not something we imagined. It literally happened. It is something that was certain. It was something that was manifest. It wasn't just an event that we heard about. It was something that we personally experienced. If that's not the case, then you're into them that perish. But I'm saved. So without the personal experience of saved, you cannot be saved. Again, there we were living the only life we knew how to live. A life alienated from God and without Christ. And in the event of salvation, the Lord came to us. He came to us. And we began to feel the crushing weight of our sins. And you remember that first time that you felt the death grip of the chains and the shackles of sin. And again, our hearts were filled with sorrow and grief and remorse for the first time over the fact that we were sinners against God. There's more to it than, do you know you're a sinner? Yes, I know I'm a sinner. Confess you're a sinner before God, you'll be saved. Oh, there's more to it than that.
Amen.
You have to feel the crushing weight of sin. It's the most miserable time of your life when you begin to feel the crushing weight of sin. And you begin to see yourself as a guilty sinner before God. That's what I mean when I'm talking about the event of salvation. There we were feeling the crushing weight of sin. We began to see our helplessness. When someone is first saved, never are they an Arminian. Never. They get messed up somewhere along the line afterwards. But if they're saved, the day they were saved, the Lord saved them. And they knew they didn't have a thing to do with it. That's a different message. But the Lord came and He broke the holding and binding power of sin. And the Lord raised us up from that grave and from that spiritual prison. He brought us out of that. He fetched us out of that. He lifted us from under the crushing weight of sin and death. We were way, 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 way down in the depths of unrighteousness and wickedness, and He lifted us up out of the depths of unrighteousness. I'm saved. He lifted us up out of the depths of alienation and out of the depths of darkness and out of the depths of enmity and spiritual bankruptcy and condemnation. And He delivered us and He set us free from the destruction from the loss and from the misery of sin, from the sickness of sin. Folks, it means something when you say, I am saved. It means something. But to many, I'm afraid it doesn't mean much. For us that are saved, this has been real. There's been a real experience. It's been a personal experience. We've been lifted from the sewer of fallen humanity. Been lifted. We're not better than them. I'm a lot better off because I'm saved. Again, if you're saved, say it to yourself again and again and again and again. I'm saved. And oh, what a glorious day it was. I'm saved. But not only say, I am saved, but remember Titus 3:5. He saved us. Yep. So yes, I'm saved. And He saved me. Don't forget that. I am saved. And He saved me. I tell our people all the time, don't ever say, I got saved.
Right.
Don't say that. I'm saved and He saved me.
Amen.
Let everyone know He saved me. I didn't just get saved. He saved me. Say it again and again. I'm saved. I'm saved. And He saved me. Think upon that. Meditate upon that. Let it sink in. He saved me. Genealogy did not save me. Religion did not save me. Baptism did not save me. Membership in a New Testament Landmark Missionary Baptist Sovereign Grace Church did not save me.
Amen.
He saved me. It was not of good works. It was not of my good intentions. It was not because of the prayer of someone else. It had nothing to do with my will or the will of anyone else. He saved me. He imparted life into my soul. And it was He that came and broke the control and the chains and the shackles of sin. It was He that fetched me. It was He that lifted me. It was He that rescued me from the mire and from the muck and the depths of sin. Glory to God. He saved me.
Amen.
He did it all. Now, if we don't lose sight of that, you'll serve the Lord. How can you not? How can you not? If you're focused upon that and you're very much aware, I'm saved and He saved me, how can you not serve Him? How can you not be serious about serving the Lord? How can you put anything ahead of Him? We need to be focused upon this fact. I'm afraid many are saved, but they've forgotten. It's become just a matter of fact. I'm saved. Well, doesn't that mean something to you? You've been taken up and we've been taken out of that horrific, vile, unspeakable hole of sin. But that's not all. We've been taken into the blessings of salvation. I'm saved. And He saved me. Oh, that that would never become so routine that we forget how miraculous it is. I'm saved. Oh, that that never becomes so natural that in my mind we forget how supernatural it is. That it never becomes so ordinary that we forget how extraordinary it is. I'm saved. And He saved me. What that means is that I have literally passed from death unto life. Now that's something to talk about. I have passed from death unto life. He brought me from death unto life. Every one of us that are saved have a story to tell.
Yes.
We've been born from above. We've been made anew. Being saved, I have forgiveness of sin. All my sins have been blotted out. Put away and removed. Been washed from the filth of sin. I have been declared not guilty. Not because of me, because of Him. Not guilty in the high court of heaven. I have been reconciled to God. Accepted. That's a wonderful word. Accepted in Christ. Accepted in the Beloved. Saved means I've been delivered from the curse of the law. I've been delivered from the power of darkness and from the wrath to come. That's something to get excited about. I'm saved. I'm saved. It means I'm a child of God. The sons and the daughters of God. That's something to talk about. That's something to be excited about. An heir of God. A joint heir with Jesus Christ. I have obtained an inheritance. I am rich beyond compare. Saved. That means I'm in Christ. That means I'm a partaker in Christ. It means I've been made complete in Christ. It means that I am clothed in His righteousness. Saved. It means I have peace with God. I'm a citizen of heaven. I have sufficiency in all things. I have grace and abundant supply. What a life! I have access to God. Think about that today. Saved, I have access to God. Me.
Yeah.
You. We have access to God through Christ. We have a great high priest. We have an unfailing intercessor. We have a sovereign God who's working all things for my good. And all my needs are supplied in Christ. Oh, I didn't just get saved. He saved me.
Amen.
I'm His workmanship. I'm His workmanship. That's amazing. I'm kept by the power of God, preserved in Christ Jesus, saved. What a wonderful word. What a blessing to be able to say, I'm saved. Yes, we live in a world that is sinful, wicked, corrupt, twisted, depraved, a world that is filled with ditches and traps, a world of death, a world of darkness, a world that is spiritually parched, a world that is under the influence of wickedness, and blasphemy, and heresy, and irreverence, and on we could go. A world filled with needs, a world filled with burdens and cares and distractions and difficulties, a world filled with pressures and stresses and storms and temptations, but I'm saved. I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loved me enough to save my soul. I'm blessed. I have a building of God, eternal in the heavens. I have a place prepared in glory. I have a glorious future. A glorious future. United States of America will never, ever, ever be what it was. True. That may depress you. It's just a fact. I'm saved. I have a glorious future. I will one day be forever with the Lord. So if you're saved, say it over and over and over. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. And He saved me. That needs to sink in. That needs to get a hold of us. We need to live in the awareness of that. Do we not sometimes, perhaps more times than not, fail to live in the reality and awareness of, I'm saved? We get caught up with a lot of things. But if we're saved, it seems to me we need to live in the reality of that. We need to live in the enjoyment of that. I know a lot of people who say they're saved, and I've yet to see them live in the enjoyment of it. I've yet to see it. I've known people 15, 20 years, and I've yet to see them live in the enjoyment of salvation. I've got to wonder if they are. But shouldn't we live in the enjoyment of salvation? Why should we go around with our lip dragging the ground? I'm saved. What have you got to be depressed about? I'm saved. If everything in the world goes against you, nothing changes this. I'm saved. And when it comes down to it, that's really all that matters. I'm saved. And He saved me. This truly gets a hold of us. Our cup will run over.
Yes.
With thanksgiving and with praise and with passion and with love for the one who saved our soul. This gets a hold of somebody. You don't have to talk to them. You don't have to persuade them to serve God. They will. When this truly gets a hold of us, serving the Lord will not even be an issue. It'll fill your heart with a desire to honor Him. I'm saved and He saved me. I ought to honor Him. I ought to exalt Him. I ought to be willing to draw attention to Him. That's why I don't like I got saved.
Right.
Draw attention to the one who saved you. He saved me. It'll cause us to want to sing to Him. It'll cause us to bow to Him. It'll cause us to worship Him. You won't have any trouble worshiping God if you come into this building every Sunday, every Wednesday. I'm saved and He saved me. That'll cause you to worship.
Amen.
Cause us to live our life without reservation. The one who saved us. Why should I hold anything back from Him? He saved me. He saved my soul. The greatest miracle that can happen. Oh, that we would never lose the wonder, the thrill, the excitement saved. I'm saved. Oh, that that would get hold of us. We would go from here in the enjoyment of saved. Go from here living the life of saved. May we live the remainder of our lives in the reality and awareness of saved. I'm saved. And he saved me. I once was lost, but no more. He saved me. In saving our soul, he saved our life.
Right.
Oh, may this get a hold of our hearts. I'm saved, and he saved me. May we never, ever get over it.
Right.
I don't want to get over that. I don't want to forget that. Can you say that tonight? Today? I am saved. And he saved me. Brother Ian.
Let's stand.
What a blessing.